say, I think it's, I say it's irresponsible to bring in numbers a year into the process, or, and I'm glad we have them finally, but it's hard for me to believe that it took this long to get financials on what's going on in the department. Nevertheless, the spreadsheet on page 3 has got the bottom amount to pay claims on day one, 71,000 with brackets around it, meaning that that's not available, and then amount to pay claims for the year, 454,000. Are all the expenses listed above those two numbers, are those all paid up front, or are they paid throughout the year?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Parnell, the expenses other than excess insurance, which is paid up front, and that's what results in the negative 71,000, because only 175,000 is available for claims, and we will have to pay the bulk of these expenses, all of the expenses for the excess insurance. And as to not providing this information earlier, these numbers were only made available to us in the last committee meeting, where the experts hired by the home builders provided this specific category. Prior to that time, we had testified that there was not sufficient money. And these numbers came from them and was right.
I understand that, Mr. Burke, but for a year now, your division has claimed that there's not been enough money available to pay these claims, and I haven't seen the backup information until now. And now you're basing, and I appreciate you basing those numbers on what's come in. So, but what I think I heard you say is that the only money that they have to pay up front is the $50,000 for excess insurance, and yet the spreadsheet appears to me to be assuming that all of these expenses get paid up front, resulting in the negative $71,000 on day one. And I'd like you to correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Parnell, the specific insurance of $50,000 and the $110,000 must be paid on day one.
So $160,000 of all the expenses that are listed up above that. Okay, so then the next question I have is the amount to pay claims on day one, 71,000. Well, that doesn't look like it's a good number anymore, but if it won't, will they have to pay claims on day one, practically speaking?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Parnell, no. They would not write a check on day one. However, other of these expenses would have had to be paid, such as commissions, which they estimate, their experts estimate at 3.5%, legal costs to get this up and running. And I must say I do not know when the royalties are due. I can't address that. But many of these other expenses, which apply to a whole year, a lot of them will have to be paid up front.
And on the amount to pay claims for the year, you've got $454,000. Have you done an analysis of what the anticipated claims would be and what amount is necessary to pay those claims based upon, for instance, the one qualified trade association that would like to do this?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Parnell, the actual claims are made by the Workers' Comp Division, who did provide early on actual computer runs showing the claims that had been paid in prior years. If we knew who was going to be a member of this group and could pull their specific records, an actuarial determination could probably be made. I don't have access to that information, and in fact, I don't think the home builders at this point know exactly who will be part of this group.
But you don't know whether 454,000 is enough to pay the claims for the year then? And neither do the home builders, if what you're saying is true, but you don't know.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Parnell, that's exactly true. You never know in insurance. It could, in theory, they could have none.
But that's part of doing an actuarial assessment, is taking into account the risk that's involved. And have you done that yet?
Through the chair, we have not performed an actuarial determination. We can't, not knowing who's going to be participants.
Thank you.
Senator Donnelly?
Yeah, I just wanted to go through a couple of things. The Uniform Act, obviously all the commissioners, insurance commissioners, upward this Uniform Act. If now you're arguing to it that the Uniform Act isn't good enough, and this bill actually goes beyond the Uniform Act and requiring $1 million for the increase, why haven't they amended the Uniform Act?
Through the chair, Senator Donnelly, no one is enacting this act. And the act, the Model Act, does call for $1 million in premium.
The Model Act, I had a copy of it, it's only $500,000.
Through the chair, Mr. Donnelly, oh, Senator Donnelly, I apologize. On page 3, we have the $1 million net worth, and I stand corrected. You are right. It is $250,000 the first year and $500,000 the second year. As I pointed out in my testimony, no state has adopted this as is. They have customized it, as in the case of Pennsylvania, they require $500,000 up front. Each state, as I have and my predecessors have done, we would never bring to this body a model act without having carefully reviewed it and customized it for the unique needs of our individual states.
Right, but they did. The National Association of Insurance Commissioners did adopt this act, and they haven't amended it. I mean, you're saying because no one's using it, but they have used it. There's a lot of these organizations that have been formed in the state that have allowed them to be formed. I would think if the act was had some serious deficiency in it, that the insurance commissioners would seek to strengthen the act.
Again, through the chair, Senator Donnelly, I would point out that there no state has adopted this recently. This is hadn't been. Similar, it's only been adopted in 4 states, and they've customized it. It is very unusual that the National Association of Insurance Commissioners will amend a model act unless it's the result of either federal legislation, such as the Portability and Accountability Act, or a trend. An adverse trend of insurance companies is noted. In that case, they do address the issues, and they have committees that study those issues. This has not even been brought up for discussion in the 4 years that I have been a member of the NAIC.
That's kind of my point. I mean, if it was such an insufficient document to raise the kind of concerns that you've articulated to us, I would hope that the National Insurance Commissioners would have gone back and addressed those issues, because otherwise they have this model act floating around as a recommendation to all the states that would be insufficient. And so what's the point of even having model recommended legislation from the insurance commissioners? But
Senator Donnelly, the only time something is addressed is if it is identified as a problem and brought to them. Since no states are adopting it, there is no need to readdress it.
I would hope that the insurance commissioners would frequently go back and examine the recommendations they make to us as a group and make sure that they're consistent with their current position. I think you have to give them the benefit of the doubt that once they adopted the model act and they haven't amended it, that this is what they're recommending. but I wanted to talk about the level of reinsurance, and you mentioned that you calculated these numbers, and I think, of course, we've identified there isn't a royalty, so that's one of the things that shouldn't be on the sheet also. I think there was testimony earlier about that, but the aggregate attachment amount you mentioned was calculated at $900,000?
That is correct. That is what Ed Smith, their expert, testified as the lowest they could get.
I guess I'm confused about that, because I would think that there'd be lower amounts available in the marketplace. I'd like to hear from some other witnesses whether that's the lowest amount available, because I think that's clearly an option, because the way the bill's drafted, the insurance commissioner has to approve the reinsurance, right? They have complete discretion about whether or not the reinsurance is adequate. So you could require a lower aggregate attachment amount or a lower level to kick in for the reinsurance to make sure that they were protected from that kind of catastrophic event.
Through the chair, that is correct, Senator. However, I could require it, but if it's not available, it wouldn't work. And I am giving the home builders the benefit of the doubt that they would not have hired an expert to come to Alaska to testify for something and provide numbers on just a fluke. They would have done their homework. Now, you can get excess insurance, yes. If you can get $900,000, and this is an exaggeration. If you want to pay $900,000, you can get excess reinsurance of $900,000. If I were, for example, to use the number that had been talked about the home or by the home builders early on of a $5,000 attachment point, if they could not get this, the bill says it has to be available. If it's not available, I would certainly be subject to, rightly so, criticism for abuse of my position.
Other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adams.
Once we get done with everybody testifying, I do have submitted 5 amendments, which I would like the director back up to respond to each one of those. After we get done with anybody else that wants to testify, Mr. Chairman.
We had several members contact me that this new information presented by the department, they'd like more time to look at that, and they'd like more time to also look at the amendments that we just got dumped on us to see what it does. Senator Donnelly.
Before we go, though, I really would like to give the sponsor or any of the witnesses a chance to address this, because I've got documents here that show that reinsurance is available at a much lower level at a lower cost also, and that would change the basis of this entire analysis. But maybe the sponsor or somebody the sponsor knows could address that.
State your name for the record again, please.
My name is Alan Wilson. I am a member of the Alaska State Home Builders, and I sit on the executive board and have been working on this piece of legislation for the last couple of years. And I would certainly be glad to answer questions specifically regarding the excess. I was told or heard testimony earlier that concerning the attachment points and the cost of the reinsurance. Attachment points from the the two separate companies that we have worked with, one of those individuals was represented before this body last week or our last hearing. Their attachment point is at the $300,000 that the director of insurance just testified to. Another individual quoted us some numbers regarding attachment point at $200,000. What I've learned in this industry is that the attachment point can be whatever amount we would want it to be. It's just a matter of, are we willing to pay the cost of that? we had some documents presented to us that represented a $1 million premium that showed a $200,000 attachment point with the expense of $50,000 to $75,000 for both your specific and your aggregate insurance.
So your testimony is that this spreadsheet could be dramatically altered, the bottom line of this, by shopping around for a more effective rate and probably a lower attachment.
That's correct. One other thing I noticed about the director's spreadsheet here is that when you get under the $1 million column, she's added a 5% for specific and 11% for excess. It's been, and I think it's clear that in the left-hand column, you see 8% for both of those. Our quotes have been 5 to 8% for both your specific and your excess insurance. So that number could be half of what it is.
Just get clarification on it. You say that the numbers on the left-hand side, the 8% for 104,000 is equivalent to the 160,000 they have on the other side. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
And the 104,000 has been documented as firm quotes to provide excess insurance at what level?
At the $1.3 million. The attachment point, I believe, on that quote was $350,000 on the specific and $900,000 on the aggregate.
Okay.
Chairman.
Senator Phillips.
Division of insurance, she's shaking her head. I'd like to get a response on that.
Come on back to the table and I have another question for Division of Insurance.
Yeah, I just want to get the thoughts.
You can stay at the table. Senator Phillips.
Watching your body language here just a few seconds ago. Obviously, you have something to say about it. Go ahead.
Yes, through the chair, Senator, the 8% is the amount that the TPA estimated. That is not a quote in any way. The people who provided that number are not insurers. They merely provide estimates. And as I mentioned earlier, I have problems that their estimates are very low. The only firm quotes that were received and entered into testimony before this legislature was by Ed Smith, who is with National Safety Insurance, who testified on the behalf of the home builders. He provided the percentage of 5% and 11%, and in fact, those specific numbers that I have to the right. If there are other quotes, those have not been entered into testimony or provided to the division. And I don't for a second think that there you can always get it, as I mentioned earlier, in an absurd example, and as Mr. Wilson has testified, you can get it lower if you're willing to pay for it and have the money to pay for it.
But there's a point of no return as far as you drive it down lower, your premium cost starts to eat up all your potential savings very quickly, as I recall.
That's correct.
My only experience has been years back when we formed the Eureka Alaska Utilities Insurance Trust, the one you referred to, and it had some lean years to start with. Senator Donnelly.
Had some lean years to start with.
And that was some major utilities involved, I'll tell you.
It looks like there's a lot of middle ground here, though, Mr. Chairman. We're talking about aggregate levels of 350 or 900,000, yeah. Aggregate 900,000. There's a lot of room to work with here on reinsurance and specific and excess insurance. the premium levels are only 50 and 110 on the Division of Insurance's own numbers. The testimony from the advocates is that they can shop around and get that cheaper and shop around and get better reinsurance and at lower levels. And there's a lot of middle ground there between what they're paying on this flow sheet and what their ability to pay is.
I guess if they've been shopping around with the figures, bring them to the table. Senator Pierce?
Is your intent to hold this over?
It's my intention, a couple of members want to be able to look at the amendments that we just got and the data that was just presented to us by the department. Back to the department to answer questions. I know Senator Parnell has some desire to do that, and others on the amendments that just came in. Still my intention to move this bill out when we get a comfort level here. We'll continue at the top of the list unless we get one of the three pending referrals here that may come to the top of the list before ahead of this one. But other than that, this will be at the top of the list. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, 11 o'clock session, 1 o'clock joint session, is that what 3:30 conference committee? Barring any extended sessions on the floor, our conference committee is going till 9 o'clock or so tonight. I'd like to come back on this as soon after the conference committee says it's over, and at least address this bill and possibly another one. We have some DEC people here that I'd like to be able to testify on the next bill that we didn't get to, HB 144, although we could get to that if we set this aside now. If we're not going to move it, and maybe we could get some testimony. Senator Donnelly?
I just wanted to send Mike, the witness, to add one more thing he wanted to clarify.
Well, I for the record, I think that Ed Smith's testimony was perhaps misunderstood by the director. The 5 to 8% number has been quoted on both insurances from multiple companies. Mr. Bruce Hockman from Towers Perrin, a big nationwide firm, has quoted me that we could probably go to a firm that wasn't as reputable as his firm and get this insurance under the 5% number. And I'd certainly be glad to have testimony from both those individuals when we reconvene today as to that number.
Or
how much
something on letterhead, or, you know, something that we could refer to in the file if they're not in Juneau. That would be acceptable, too. Thank you. So let's do set this aside. It will be the first on the docket, barring any of the three others that I mentioned, pending referral bubbling to the top. And it is my intention to come back. Since the days are getting shorter, as far as numbers left, we will come back tonight, late this afternoon, I hope. Senator Pierce?
Are you going to bring up 144?
Yes.
So I'll move that we adopt the C version work draft of the Senate Finance CS for discussion purposes.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
I move the C version work draft for Finance CS on 144.
C version work draft for Senate Bill, House Bill 144 has been adopted without objection.
Ferguson has a number of amendments.
Senator Ferguson?
This is a live document. Mr. Chairman, I'd move amendment number one. I don't have it, but
to get it.
I'll find it here.
What? Mr. Chairman, all I need is an explanation of number one, please.
Of what?
Nothing. I'm just.
Let me just go to it.
There has been objection to amendment number one for explanation, Senator Torres.
Well, let me find
that. That's provided in paragraph E4 of the Senate.
Except as provided in paragraph E4.
delete, then we do a deletion.
Gotcha. Organize in just a moment. All right, page two, line seven. Mr. Chairman, we're deleting out, if the systems are located within a municipality.
Okay.
And we're inserting except as provided in E4 of this section. In E4 of the section, comes underneath the negotiated permit portion of this, where it talks about domestic wastewater and treatment facilities, as identified in 4603720. I did a move the amendment.
Mr. Chip, with that explanation, I remove my objection.
Senator Torgerson, and these amendments have at least been reviewed by the department.
The department has reviewed them. I think.
Janice, will you want to come to the table?
All of the campers are happy campers at this point.
Chairman, for the record, my name is Janice Adair, Director, Division of Environmental Health. I'm just a happy camper. I'd just like to point out that there is a typo on one of the amendments that is significant when we get to it.
Okay. Not on one, though?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Maybe it isn't. It might be intentional.
That typo is not on number one?
No, sir,
okay.
It's not.
Is there any objection, number one? Number one has been approved. Okay, now.
I move amendment number two. Is that where
it's not that one, either.
Okay.
I object just to... an explanation on that one, please.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, again, we're deleting out on page three, line two, if the systems are located within outside municipality, and we're inserting if the system serves only a discrete industrial operation. Mr. Chairman, the reason for this is we initially thought we wanted this bill to apply only to areas located outside municipalities, but after further review, there's many municipalities that have remote locations that we want the operators to come in and negotiate, if they wish to, fixed rates and things with DEC. So that's why that amendment, or the first part of that amendment, is doing that. Then on line three, or page three, line three, we're inserting the after A, the letter E, which refers back to that section again. And then on line four, we're putting after provided A or three.
Remove my objection, Mr. Chairman.
Any further objection on amendment number two? Amendment number two has been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, move amendment number three.
This has got to be it.
Object.
Object.
Mr. Where did we make a mistake?
It should say pre-application instead of re-application. There's missing a P.
Oh, re. Okay. Page on line three, that should, the technical amendment would be to insert a P in front of reapplication. It should be pre-application.
It should be
just a drafting error.
The R should be replaced, or P in front of the R.
Yes, sir.
Pre and, okay.
Remove my objection, Mr. Chairman, with that correction.
That technical correction, did you get that, Mindy? Okay. That technical correction, is there any objection on amendment number three?
And then
number three has been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move amendment number four.
Whoops. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, amendment number four has to do with section one of the act and gives it that section an immediate effective date. Section one of the act is the direct marketing fishing vessels and the fee that would apply to them. We wanted that to take effect immediately instead of delaying that for whenever after. If we didn't have an effective immediate date, it would be after this season before we come into effect, by the time 90 days after it was signed and all that stuff was.
Any objection to amendment number four? Amendment four has been adopted.
I want to tell everybody how good it is. Mr. Chairman, that's all the amendments that I have. I will say that I've worked with all the parties here, the miners, loggers, fishermen. There's probably a little bit of everything. Everybody hates a little bit of this bill, but there is compromise to this point, and we all didn't get 100% of what we wanted, but it appears that the bill has the in favor of everyone involved.
Mr. Dare, would you care to comment on the legislation?
I don't want to take up your time.
Okay, does it?
It works for us.
Does it work? Okay. That's what we
that
want
means
to
you
hear.
Endorse it, right?
Pardon me?
That means you endorse it, right?
Well, I'm not going to get real excited about it, but it works for us. And we will have a revised fiscal note for you.
Okay.
I believe, Mr. Chairman, the fiscal note will be substantially less.
Okay. With that in mind, we have before us a affectionately known as a Torganized House Bill Number 144. Finance.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move HB 144 as amended out of committee with individual recommendations and revised fiscal note.
Okay, the bill will move out of committee with once the revised fiscal note is provided and without objection, so ordered. Thank you.
Organized.
Okay.
Organized.
The other two bills. I don't know
if it'd be our U.S. component. That's great. I don't know what about doing.
Yeah. Next time we.
They got the money. They ended up with an increment of $490,000.
Okay, with that, and with the anticipated discussion on HB 393, we will and 284. There has been some changes recommended on that, so. We'll hold that, those two, until the evening session at the call of the chair. Hopefully, the chair will call tonight. And we will go back to 116, 393, 284, and any of the three that bubbles up. With that, any announcements, Senator Pierce, for the committee?
No, conference committee at 3:30.
Scheduled at 3:30. With that, we are recessed to the call of the chair.